This is Indiana Public Radio News. Good morning, I'm Stan Sollers at 44 past the hour. Today, we begin a weekly series of pandemic updates from IU Health Ball Memorial Hospital in Muncie. We'll be checking on patient capacities, treatment realities, staffing updates, and other pandemic-related health news. Joining us today is the president of IU Health's East Central Region, including Ball Memorial, Dr. Jeffrey Bird. Dr. Bird, welcome back, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
In general, how is the hospital coping today?
Well, Stan, as we talked about last time, it's still a huge challenge for my team, but we are coping well. Since last time we spoke, our number of positive COVID inpatients at IU Health Ball has continued to slowly and steadily creep up. Most every day now, we are in the 80s, and we approached 90 one day last week. So we have adequate staffing. We are able to turn over our beds, and we are still capable of taking care of anyone who needs our services.
And you're still at the overall 241-bed maximum capacity at this time?
Yeah. So again, for the last week or 10 days, every morning we've had a handful of people in our emergency department who are waiting for an open bed to be admitted, but we are able to then safely discharge people from the hospital as the day progresses and turn those people into inpatients. So we are still handling it to this point.
Are you having to divert patients elsewhere?
We don't really go on diversion, quite frankly, at IU Health Ball. There's no place for the patients to go. Being the only hospital in Delaware County, our emergency services continue to bring every patient who needs seen in our ED and or admitted to our hospital to Ball. We have worked very diligently as a healthcare system at IU Health to have contingency plans in place such that if we were to need to move inpatients from Ball to another facility, we have the ability and the plan to be able to do that. A good example would be our critical access hospitals in Blackford County and Jay County. Every week we are moving patients back and forth. If they get sicker at one of the critical access hospitals, they get transferred to Ball. And if they're well on the road to recovery but might need a few more days, particularly if they're from Blackford or Jay counties, we've moved patients from Ball there. So and we always have kind of what we call the pop-off valve, which is Methodist Hospital in downtown Indianapolis. We've not had to send patients down there yet, but they are capable of taking critically ill or intermediate care patients if the scenario should present itself at Ball.
The critical care capacity, could you define what that is and what Ball Memorial Hospital's critical care capacity is?
Yeah, so we have two intensive care units, one that we call our ICU intensive care unit and one that's called the cardiac intensive care unit. But basically, the types of care in the nursing training, physician training, can be those beds can be used interchangeably. Each of those units are 18-bed units. So under normal circumstances, we have 36 intensive care beds. Now we have intermediate units, again, two of those, both 18 beds, so another 36 beds that if we got into a crunch, we could convert those into intensive care bed units. And we also have other areas of the hospital. For instance, after a very difficult surgery, our surgical recovery unit could act as an intensive care area. So if the circumstances called for it and we had adequate staffing, we could probably have 50-plus intensive care beds at Ball.
Do you foresee perhaps activating other parts of the hospital and converting those beyond what you've just described into intensive care units?
What we've done, Stan, is we've planned for all of the worst-case scenarios, hoping and praying that they don't come true. It's not so much the capacity of the hospital to be able to do this. It's the capacity of our personnel to be spread so thin. So, you know, we have a finite number of nurses and a finite number of doctors. In finding more nurses and doctors at this point, there's such an incredible national shortage that you just can't get them in.
So right now you do have enough staff, is that correct?
We do. For the 240 beds that we're running, we have adequate staff to be able to handle them. No different than what we're seeing in the community. The same thing happens for us. We routinely have over 100 of our team who are off in quarantine or in isolation. So that's another big challenge for us. But we had a lot of foresight to get in some extra reinforcements several months ago that have allowed us to still be able to have the number of experts to care for our patients that we need on a daily basis.
Would the analogy that we are in a world war with a virus be accurate? And what would you have the general public do?
I think if you're a healthcare worker or like myself trying to lead a healthcare organization, that the war analogy is an appropriate one, quite frankly. And there are things about every day that it's like fighting a new battle on a new front. We've got an overall strategy. The interesting thing about this war is we have some insight into how to help us win it. And it takes not just the healthcare workers or the soldiers to do that. It takes the public to help us with that. So we know that we can survive the next 3 months if we can continue to get the public to wear their masks, socially isolate, not collect in groups, and wash hands. And if we do those things, we'll survive and we'll win this war. There will continue to be casualties. And the ability to lessen the number of those casualties is less dependent on the excellent care that my team can give and more dependent on the behavior of all of us collectively.
Dr. Jeffrey Bird, thank you very much for your time and good luck to you and your staff.
Thank you, Stan. I appreciate the opportunity to address our listeners.
For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.